Hey everyone, it's Scott from DVC-Rental.com. If you're planning on taking a Disney vacation, please make sure you check us out, as typically we can save you around 40 to 50% off of Disney's prices for the same exact Disney resorts. You're looking at resorts like Grand Floridian, Animal Kingdom, Bay Lake Tower, Beach Club, Boardwalk, Old Key West, Saratoga Springs, Wilderness Lodge, and Copper Creek. Again, that's DVC-Rental.com.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined for our second part, essentially our third part, of our tour of Epcot Center opening day with Tim Van Swole. Tim, how are you again?
I'm doing good.
Good. Tim, we talked about, in our first part, we talked about, I know we're confusing people, part one, part two, part three. Talk about what part one was, would you, so people can get on board with that?
All right, so part one was an attempt by Chris and I. We were going to read a booklet to you. But as we got a few pages into it, we realized that Chris and I were probably going to be the only ones interested in listening to this.
And it was early, and we were making mistakes, so we didn't have enough coffee. Okay.
So we decided to instead give our more listenable versions. I don't know if that's a word, but easy listening versions of the booklet. So we have brought it to you in bullet form. Bullet point form, so that we can have people want to listen to this for more than 5 seconds.
Hashtag listenable. It's a word now, even if it's not. So it is now. All right. So we talked about awesome attraction. We talk about Spaceship Earth, Communicore, the Universe of Energy, World of Motion, Journey into Imagination, and The Land in the first show. So in this show, we're going to focus on World Showcase. So World Showcase is oftentimes what adults think of when they get to Epcot, because they can essentially travel from country to country. They can eat delicious food, shop at unique and special stores, snack, and really pick up a drink from each country as they go around the world. Through time, you know, honestly, there's been things like drinking around the world, and there are certain times of the year, food and wine, where the World Showcase can actually become a rowdy and raucous environment, always safe, you know, through Disney standards, always safe. But it has more of an adult theme. But I will contend that even through my kids, the first time they were there, my kids found World Showcase to be infinitely more, you know, interesting to them than the actual attractions. And I'm not sure if that's because we've always watched Rick Steves and Rudy Maxa and Burt Wolf on PBS. So the kids have always had a desire to travel. So even my young ones always found World Showcase to be exciting. What are your thoughts as far as, Amy, do you like the attractions more than the World Showcase? What about your kids, Tim? What do you think?
I would agree with you. I'm a social studies teacher, so the learning about the cultures of the different parts of the world has, of course, always been an interest of mine. And I always am talking to my kids about history and things, so I think that they were conditioned to love this World Showcase even before they'd ever gone there. But it is definitely a family favorite for us. One of the things that sealed it for us was we had an opportunity to go one time at Thanksgiving time. And getting to go around the World Showcase and hear the different storytellers from around the world was a special thing for us. And I think that just kind of cemented our love for World Showcase even more.
So Mr. Van Swole, as his kids would call him, is a history teacher. He's also one of the coolest teachers. And I had the pleasure last December to go to Tim's class and not help lead, because I certainly didn't do that, but enjoy the kids' presentations. And we had a discussion on essentially Walt Disney and the history of Walt Disney and the history of Mickey and the history of Donald. We had an amazing discussion. And I thought to myself, you know, Tim and I are good friends. But even as a kid, how cool this is to have a teacher that wants to focus on this. And, you know, you think, well, maybe the sixth graders or seventh graders didn't pay attention. No, the kids were completely in tune with it. So So kudos to you to be able to relate to your kids on such a cool topic. I wish my teachers had the foresight to be able to talk about stuff like this when I was back, you know, in their age.
Well, thank you, and I'm hoping we'll make it a yearly tradition.
Oh, I've got a bunch of ideas already. Not all good, but I've got a bunch of ideas on how I can come down and at least sit in and have fun with the kids again this year.
Yeah, that'll be great.
All right. So talking about World Showcase right now, at the time when Epcot opened, they opened – how many countries did they open with, Tim?
Let me count. I don't know. You know it off the top of your head.
They had 9 countries.
9, okay.
So when Epcot opened, the American Adventure, Canada, China, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Mexico, United Kingdom opened up. Okay? So at the time, they had some countries on the board. And then I'm gonna list. This was called the World Showcase. This was called Phase 2. Do you know what they planned for Phase 2, Tim? The countries that were supposed to be entering World Showcase and they had plots of land picked out? Do you know the countries that were initially thought of?
I've heard these before. I'm assuming maybe Brazil, because Brazil's always brought up.
No.
No.
Brazil was not on the board at that point.
Was Australia?
No.
No. All right, so I'm 0 for 2. Greece, I'm going to go one more guess.
Strikeout, 0 for 3.
All right, so no.
Okay, so Morocco was one of them on the board, and Morocco eventually did find its way to the World Showcase as it currently stands right now. But other countries that were on the list, Spain, okay, Israel, and Equatorial Africa were prospective countries. And I remember watching the Danny Kaye special where he actually had the Alex Haley, the author of Roots, come out, and they were talking about, you know, the vision for the villages of Africa. But even then, I remember watching that, like, the concept of Africa, they try to capture the spirit because so many different cultures are represented in Africa. It was so hard to put, just one stamp and said, this is Africa. There were so many. It'd be arguable, though, that the Africa Pavilion actually did take place over at Animal Kingdom Lodge, both Jumbo and Kidani, because the culture and heritage over in that resort is certainly representative of many different cultures of Africa, and it's entirely fascinating. So I know if you're listening, you've probably visited the resort. If you've not, you're doing yourself a disservice, not because it's fantastic and you can see the animals. Look at the artwork. Look at the history, and just don't stop at the lobby. Look, just walk around and wander. What a fantastic job. And I know it's not the official Africa Pavilion, but go to Animal Kingdom Lodge and experience the unbelievable effort and detail they put into that resort.
Yeah, I agree completely. The culture that is displayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge is amazing, and I think people should definitely go and check that out.
All right. So let's talk about the actual countries in the World Showcase, though. You want to go first, buddy? What do you want to talk about?
All right. So the first one they talk about in the brochure that we're going from is of course, the centerpiece that they planned for the World Showcase, and that is what's more important than our own country, America.
It is the centerpiece. Legitimately, it sits in the center.
Yeah, it's directly opposite Spaceship Earth.
Okay.
Across the World Showcase Lagoon. And the pavilion is called the American Adventure. And from what I can tell, it seems like it's pretty much the same as it was. It is today very similar to what it was back then. So, of course, the purpose of this area is to serve as a grand salute to our American heritage. We already said it's located across the World Showcase Lagoon from Spaceship Earth. The building creates an illusion of a two-story colonial structure. It was inspired by Thomas Jefferson's residence, Monticello. But in reality, it's actually a bigger space than that. Do you know how many levels there are inside of the American Adventure Pavilion?
I do not.
Yeah, they create a low profile. It's almost like forced reality, or that's the wrong word.
Forced perspective.
Forced perspective, that's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. So it has 5 levels housed inside. I'm guessing that comes from the sloping down theater display inside once you go in to see the show.
Mm-hmm.
But so it looks 2 stories from the outside, but it's actually 5 different levels inside. The American Adventure hosts a show that is 29 minutes long, and it's hosted by animatronic figures of Benjamin Franklin and Mark Twain. Through projected images and three-dimensional sets and film, viewers are guided through major historical moments throughout American history. The grand finale sees the return of Mark Twain and Benjamin Franklin, along with 33 other animatronic Americans, as they look back on America's past accomplishments and look ahead to her future with optimism. When you leave the theater, there are opportunities for people to go and enjoy some food at the Liberty Inn or to enjoy some entertainment across directly on the shores of the World Showcase Lagoon in the American Pavilion, called the American Gardens Theater. And there's often entertainment in that pavilion as well.
So my one question always with the American Adventure was the restaurant option they offered. Oh, and we should, okay, so let's talk about the movie. So it's very similar to what they have right now, if not identical, you know, with the music and the production, but it still is really, it's very dramatic and it's very entertaining, and it always keeps my attention for, you know, for the duration of the movie, you know, the song Two Brothers and whatnot. I don't know if it's changed whatsoever. I'm sure the film quality may have, you know, when they have they display the map and they make it seem like it's a documentary type film, it may have improved, but I'm sure the actual concepts are very similar today as they were back then. But I wanted to talk about the restaurant. So when you go to the World Showcase, it's, I don't want to say in vogue to eat at the French restaurant and Le Cellier and whatnot, but it always felt like America's restaurant was always kind of like, just kind of not shoehorned in, but poorly thought of or poorly represented. So now with the Regal Eagle coming in, I'm excited to see that. I know we just warped into 2019 and 2020, but even back then, the food option gets such a small billing at the American Adventure. I always felt like it was a disservice to American food and American eating.
Yeah, it kind of is. Although I think, you know, for an American visiting there, I would rather go and enjoy, you know, foods from other cultures.
Correct.
I'm not going to go and eat that, but you know, we also remember that there are people coming from other countries that would be the option for them to experience American food.
Correct. So in the pictures, they obviously, the pavilion on the exterior looks very similar, identical to what it does right now. You have the staircase and escalators up through the flag room, which I always thought was really cool, and I have pictures of it every time, and I think I take the same pictures every time. And the statues on the side of the theater are identical to what they were. So it really... This often evokes a spirit in me where, like, when I leave after seeing the show, I have, like, the biggest desire to go and travel back to, like Civil War battlefields and go to Washington, D.C. and Boston and experience America's culture. It's this one show. Like, this one show jumpstarts it in me every time I see this show. I don't know about you, but it kindles my American spirit every time I see this pavilion.
Yeah, it's very patriotic and definitely inspires.
Okay. Canada. Okay, so here's some interesting stats. Okay, it stretches over 3.5 million square miles. It's second in size, in overall size, to what country, Tim?
That would be Russia.
That would be Russia, which goes on for infinity, seemingly, right? From one side of the globe to the other, okay? World Showcases Canada offers a walking tour of the splendor of the largest country in the Western Hemisphere. Okay. The spectacular landscape Victoria Gardens on the side of the Canadian Pavilion greets the eye as one approaches, with planting of maples and a stand of conifers, cedars, and firs to the right and left of the entrance. Authentic totem poles sculpted by Indians on Canada's northwest coast stand out amongst the trees. Just inside lies the trading post, which is essentially a gift shop. They also have the Northwest Mercantile. They have that still right now. Okay. Winding past the Hotel du Canada, all right, which is a steeply pitched roof, which we still currently see, you walk along the path of a rushing river into a mine, and there's a name for this mine. Do you know what they actually call that cave mine structure? It actually has a name.
I believe I do know the name of it. I think is it the Moosehead Mine?
The Moosehead Mine. All right. So you go into the Moosehead Mine and you experience the Circle Vision 360 of the film. What is it, Tim?
O Canada.
O Canada, with a different version, obviously not the Martin Short version, of the O Canada 360 film. The final stop is Le Cellier. They currently have Le Cellier. It nestled snugly beneath the hotel. It offers a delicious assortment of regional dishes, maple sugar pastries, farmer sausage, fresh salmon steak, and more. All Canadian favorites. So I've often felt that this may be the prettiest, and it's the garden version. It's the gardens that make it the prettiest. But when you're walking, you can see this pavilion. You can see the Canada, essentially the Hotel Canada building from anywhere on the World Showcase and pretty much anywhere in Epcot. I've often felt that Canada was the prettiest one.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I enjoy just standing there and looking out over those gardens as a relaxing time, especially if it's later in the evening. It's just really beautiful.
Yeah. Have you, what do you think about the new, there's going to be a new version of O Canada. I know currently Martin Short, I hope they involve him. I hope it's not a replacement, but you know what? I'm also, if they do, I'm on board with that as well too. I just find that version to be really funny. What do you think about the new version of O Canada?
Yeah, I think it could use an update, but I'm with you. I just love Martin Short so much. He's so funny, and he's just so perfect for that role. I hope that they can still incorporate him and maybe even some other famous, you know, Canadian people that we know from the entertainment industry into the new film. My personal preference would be that if they redesign it with a theater seating instead of a 360 version, because that would be my one complaint is the standing during the film.
Okay, 360 seating, 360 standing. Where do you stand in the theater when you approach? Do you stand on one end and try and capture three quarters of the film? Do you stand in the middle and turn, or how do you view those 360s?
We do tend to try to go to the middle somewhere so we can turn around and see the different areas.
Okay. I often just go to one end. I'll go to the farthest spot and I'll try and capture 75 or 80% of the film. I don't want to get sick or nauseous, and I find that if I'm turning and twisting, it's going to be like visual overload for me. So I just try to stand on one end and capture as much as I possibly can.
With my ADHD, I'm always wiggling around anyway, so I figured turning isn't going to happen anyway. So
all right, take us to China, where you thought when you were a young lad that China was the most interesting pavilion in the World Showcase.
Yeah, it was, and it was really the architecture. You know, China. I think even still today, when you enter into China, you pass through their ceremonial gate, and you're greeted by this feeling of mystery and serenity of this ancient country that it has towering rocks that would have been similar to what they would have used to adorn the Emperor's Palace back in the days, beautiful waterfalls, reflecting ponds, and gardens. It just... I don't know if any other pavilion in the World Showcase really transports you to a completely different world as much as China does.
Okay.
The focus of the whole pavilion is a structure that's three-tiered, and it is the Temple of Heaven. And inside is a theater, another Circle Vision 360 film, called The Wonders of China, Land of Beauty, Land of Time. And I believe it's still the same film showing today. I know it's due to get an update very soon. But it's a 20-minute film that's narrated by somebody portraying the ancient Chinese poet Li Po that guides the audience through China's history, culture, and breathtaking scenery. It's World Showcases China also included a Chinese street, an art gallery, and at the time of the printing of this brochure from opening day, it said, and a restaurant and shopping area are to be added soon. So I think just the architecture of China was what just struck me so much. I just love that art and feel of the different place.
Okay, I'm not going to say that I don't agree with you, because I do enjoy walking through there. But I'll be honest that China, to me, it's... how can I say this nicely? You know, we live in Chicago, so the opportunity to visit Chinatown and the opportunity to eat at great Chinese restaurants, and they're plentiful. They're definitely not rare, you know? So if you're listening anywhere, you're like, yeah, I got a Chinese restaurant. But, you know, in Chicago, we have Chinatown, which is, you know, one of the largest Chinatowns in the United States. So even though China always felt exotic, it never really drew me in. But I will say the shopping experience there in China is really cool. I know you love China. I like China. I don't necessarily love it, but I will say that the restaurant option, we've eaten there several times. It's one of the few restaurants that even if you don't have an ADR, you can usually walk in and get seated. And I didn't think the food price was all that unreasonable. Chinese food itself is rather expensive. So I didn't think that it was completely unreasonable. Don't overlook it if you have to eat somewhere and you didn't get the ADR. Don't look at it like it's the poor sister of the bunch. It's good. It really is good. And they're super friendly and they're super accommodating. If you have a child, you wonder if they're going to eat well. Just order the sweet and sour chicken without the sweet and sour sauce, and it becomes chicken fingers with tempura batter. So
yeah, we haven't eaten at that restaurant. I think I love the feel of the pavilion itself, but you know, Chinese food is Chinese food, kind of. It's, you know, it's something I can get other places. So we haven't actually eaten at that restaurant.
One of our favorite memories of eating at the Dragon's restaurant was essentially, you know, it was cold, it was rainy, we had no ADR. We went there and everybody, you know, when you get a family of five to have everybody love their food, it's pretty rare. So I remember sitting there damp, cold. It was a particularly unseasonably cold day for Florida, but everyone thought the food was just awesome, or we could have just been really, really hungry because we had been trekking around World Showcase, you know, for hours trying to find a spot to eat. So let's go to France. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. France, Europe's oldest unified nation and Western Europe's largest country. Okay. Entering France in the World Showcase, you're treated over a stroll of the Seine River in Paris. Okay, you go to a park inspired by Seurat's painting. It borders the canal. It has chimney pots that punctuate the building rooftops. So it really gives you the feel of being on a street in Paris. Tim, have you ever been to Paris before? Have you been to France?
I have, actually. I went with a high school tour group that I was chaperoning probably about 16, 17 years ago now, though.
And you've been to the Eiffel Tower?
I have. I've been up in the Eiffel Tower.
Have you been to the top?
Yep.
Okay. They have an Eiffel Tower here in France in the World Showcase, but it's 1/10 the scale of the original. Okay. I've been to the Eiffel Tower as well, and we have a trip coming up to Paris. But this really felt like a street view of Paris. This is really accurate. You might think that, you know, when you go to Arendelle, when you go to Norway, that, yeah, they may have stave churches. When you're walking through the street here, when you're going to the ice cream shop and the patisserie, it does feel like a street in Paris. They really do feel winding just like that. So it's a good representation.
Yeah, very much.
The adventure through France begins at the... No, okay, so excuse me. I'm a Chicagoan. I'm an American. So if I'm pronouncing words incorrectly in French, you'll have to excuse me. So the adventure begins at the Plume et Palais. Okay, it's an old-fashioned turn-of-the-century library where books on French art, cuisine, and language can be purchased. You also pass by entrances to the Paris Metro subway. The architecture style of Guy de Roche, the signature shop, reminds one of the French country chateau where you can purchase perfume and accessories. You eventually enter the Palais du Cinéma for 18 minutes. You are engulfed by the sights and sounds of France, Impressions de France, which they currently have right now. So essentially, that screen is 21 by 27 and a quarter feet. It's a 200-degree wraparound screen, so it's not a 360-degree screen. So it really is designed to go from left to right in your, you know, your periphery and your visual center. So have you seen the movie as it exists right now, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
Is it...
Go ahead. It's something I definitely enjoy. It's I see it frequently.
It is good. It oftentimes feels to me, though, like the poor sister of the theater, considering it's not 360. When you first see the 360 theater and you're like, holy cow, I could spit around, there's theaters everywhere. As impressive as this is, it often feels like, wait a minute, they didn't fully think this one out. There's something missing. But it's a really good show, and the music that accompanies it is fantastic. And they use, obviously, French composers. But the music is amazing.
And see, my take on it is, like, I'll sacrifice the 360 for the opportunity to sit down. I know I sound like a slug, but okay. After walking so many miles around the World Showcase, I just like the opportunity to sit down and watch the theater show.
It is good, though, and when they play Clair de Lune at the beginning, and when you're first looking at some of the chateaus, and it does feel really exotic. If you've never been to Europe, if you've never been to Paris, in your mind's eye, you probably have a preconceived idea what France is. It encompasses it right here. It does a really good job of it. You also visit the marketplace and La Casserole, where you can buy jams and pâtés and gourmet cookware. You can go to the boulangerie, the pâtisserie right now, and you can eat at Les Chefs de France and the cafe, offering espressos, pastries, and aperitifs. So it only, at this point, though, it only seems to have one restaurant, not two options right now, considering the cafe is just a quick option, pick-up, grab-and-go type situation. A land so diverse, France offers the visitor glimpses of many European civilizations and cultures. It's this heritage and the romance and brotherhood of the country which lures World Showcase visitors into the realm of France, a country which has, through the years, developed its own distinct and unmistakable flavor.
Very good. I did have one other memory come flooding back to me. I remember when we were in France, there was a terrible storm back in when I was there in high school, and it blew over some of the pots. I now know that it was a typical afternoon summer storm in Disney World, but at that point, I was like, whoa, these big pots with these trees were like completely blown over. And within, you know, 5 minutes after the storm blew over, everything was reset. So we waited out the storm in France, and that was kind of a neat experience.
Eating carrot mousse, waiting out the storm, a young Tim Van Swole in love in the World Showcase, correct?
Yeah, something like that.
Kind of, okay.
All right, so our journey around World Showcase now takes us to Germany. Germany at World Showcase brings to life a land of fantasy, folklore, and festivity. Germany was included in phase one of the Epcot development mostly because they thought the Oktoberfest theme would be a perfect opportunity to bring a large-scale food facility, which was something that was vital to the World Showcase at that point especially. Upon entering Germany, guests will be virtually transported to the region of Bavaria in Germany, where you can see a majestic castle off in the distance, gingerbread style shops, the ringing of a carillon in the plaza, cobblestone pathways, a clock tower, and there's a statue of Saint George slaying a dragon right in the middle of the courtyard there. Guests that are browsing through the shops will find traditional German goods, including like porcelain, handcrafted toys, wine, sweets, and, of course, things like cuckoo clocks and different types of clocks like that. The main attraction of the German pavilion was the Beer Garden restaurant, where Oktoberfest is celebrated year-round with traditional German foods and entertainment. If you've not eaten in the Beer Garden, I would highly recommend, you know, trying to at least experience going in there at some point, because it really does feel like you are in a German beer garden in Germany. And it's really cool thing. Chris, there was going to be an attraction that would be coming to Germany as part of phase two of the Epcot development, and it never happened. Do you know what that was?
Come on, Tim. You're talking to your buddy Chris. Of course I know what that was. It was a river ride.
Yeah. It was a German rivers boat cruise that was going to simulate taking a rider down the different rivers of Germany and experiencing the sights and scenes along the way. I don't know why that never happened, but that seems like that would have been a very popular and great attraction.
Well, even today, Germany is often, it's not a pass-by country, but for me and my family's dietary habits, we've never been inside the beer garden. Well, frankly, because my diet doesn't allow me to have, you know, the food. So outside of the shopping and the sweets and the pretzels and the caramel, you know, we've not actually been inside. It often felt like it was missing something. It looks really picturesque. Now, I don't know if people actually wear lederhosen in Germany still right now. I do know that people do drink beer out of 1 liter steins and they do eat sausages, but I mean, it is not the representation of everyday life in Germany, but it always felt like it was missing something. It was missing an anchor. I know the beer garden is a restaurant, but it was missing like the draw. And this would have been the draw, would have been the River Rhine ride, you know?
Yeah. I will say, Chris, if you ever do decide to give the beer garden a try, as strange as it seems, one of my favorite foods on the buffet there is their salmon. I don't know what it is they do to the salmon, but it is unbelievable. Of course, you know, this bratwurst and other things as well. They have potato dumplings and things. So you could at least find something that would be fit your diet that you would enjoy, I think.
Mr. Van Swole, on a side note, you've often talked about going to the Hofbrauhaus here in Rosemont. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I still haven't made it there. We had quite an experience, but trying to get there. But
well, towards the middle end of August, there's someone with a birthday coming up. Maybe we make a family trip to go to the Hofbrauhaus and represent our own beer gardener here in Chicago. How's that sound?
That sounds like a good plan.
All right. Let's take a quick step over from Germany and go to Italy. Okay, and this was one that I often thought they did a good job. It's not my favorite country, but they did a good job because Italy has so many different cultures in Italy. You know, Northern Italian cooking and Southern Italian cooking are not similar. It's just not pizza and pasta. I mean, they have a lot of different things to represent. But more than that, you know, the architecture varies. And there are so many things in Italy. It's really hard to choose. Is it the, you know, the Colosseum in Rome? Is it, you know, the museums of Florence, the art museums? What do you put into the Italy Pavilion? So I think they did a good job trying to sample bits and parts, you know, even from having the canals in Venice. Obviously, when you walk over the bridge, they don't actually do anything. They just are positioned there. But in fact, that's what they talk about. How should one convey such a myriad of treasures in such a limited space regarding the construction of Italy at the World Showcase? Epcot Center planners tackled this problem by concentrating on the elements that were easily recognizable and most representative of Italy. For example, they decided to make the most, and I'm reading here, they make the most readily recognizable Venetian architecture the prominent style at the pavilion. Though it was possible to duplicate it in scale and intricacy, the Doge's Palace replica at Epcot is schematically correct to its delicate and profuse ornamentation. Other things like the marble. The marble, in fact, isn't marble, you know, and the Imagineers got their hands on it. And essentially, it's treated fiberglass and meticulously reproduced to resemble the real thing. Statues and bas-reliefs look like marble, but are actually plaster and fiberglass, yet carefully detailing the, you know, the faithful reproduction of the ornamentation of the originals. They talk about the original Alfredo de Roma restaurant. So note, I did not talk about pizza at that point. So and that also had architectural styles that were very visible. Neptune's fountain, stucco and glass tile at the artist arcade, which is the Arcata di, oh man, I'm going to butcher this. The Arcata di Artigiani is the artist arcade. So there's entertainment. Colorful and spontaneous in Italy, guests are able to enjoy Italian folk songs and opera sung by waiters and waitresses at Alfredo's, and the contemporary versions of the comedy on the Piazza del Teatro. So you can see, you know, they had a lot to work with. It's not like they had a few options. There's tons of options to pick from, and they only have a limited space. I think they did a pretty good job with Italy. But I will say that Italy right now, if you're not looking for pizza other than the shopping experience, there's not a lot that grabs you. And that always felt like something that needed an anchor as well, too, to it.
Yeah, I would agree. It doesn't have something that just draws you in. Mm-hmm. For me, the architecture is beautiful. But for me, the only thing I really enjoy about Italy is if I happen to be passing by at night, or maybe we're going to be watching illuminations from near there, it's a gorgeous place to view at dusk or at night, but it just really doesn't have much to draw you in. They're talking about, you know, the entertainment in the plaza and stuff. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that in Italy during regular non-festival times.
We have seen, the flag routine. There's a flag corps. We have seen, various jugglers and guys that stand on chairs and whatnot. So we've seen that, and they are very good. Scott Ferrioli, who, is one of the sponsors of the show with Buy and Sell DVC and DVC-Rental, he often walks around World Showcase at night. And, his name is Scott Ferrioli. Italy is his favorite pavilion at nighttime. So he might have a home country bias, but he loves Italy at nighttime.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, so I can see why that would be.
All right, what's next, buddy?
All right, so next we're going to Japan.
Okay.
And Japan, much like China for me, is one of my favorites because, again, its architecture is so drastically different from anything that we have in more modern Western cultures.
Yeah.
So I really love Japan. Japan's World Showcase Pavilion portrays Japan's culture and ancient customs through gardens and architecture. Japanese gardening is a very precise art where every object and its placement in the garden has a special meaning. So it took Imagineers a lot of effort to plan out and design the gardens of Japan. The rocks are an important element in Japanese gardens, representing the earth, and great care and research went into choosing the perfect specimens for them to include. Careful consideration went into the use of water elements and evergreens and the decorative lanterns as well. The Japan Pavilion is sponsored by Mitsukoshi, a Japanese company, and they designed the pavilion with a representative sampling of traditional structures from different parts of Japan. For instance, the five-story pagoda that you see down near the edge of the lagoon is duplicated from one that is actually located in Nara, Japan. The structures today house restaurants serving a variety of Japanese food types, as well as housing the Mitsukoshi department store, which offers a wide variety of different types of Japanese gifts.
The best shopping in World Showcase outside of, the main shopping over by the attractions at what is it called? Mouse Gears?
Mouse Gears, yeah.
The best shopping in World Showcase is at Mitsukoshi.
Yeah, without a doubt. And everything from strange things like you can get different flavored insects that they might have.
Dried squid.
To Pokemon stuffed plush animals, and it's just it's everything there.
Mm-hmm.
In 1983, they said that guests will be able to explore the Japanese arts when the 17-minute Meet the World film opens.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that ever opened, or actually, I don't know if it was a film, but it was a Meet the World attraction that was going to open in 1983.
Like a show, okay.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if that ever opened, but it's not there now, I don't believe.
Interesting.
So, one of my favorite places in World Showcase is just to go sit by the edge of the koi pond right there in Japan and just kind of chill out and relax. And even though there's still the hustle and bustle of people around me, I can kind of just escape from reality for a while. So, which I think we all need to do a little bit when you're on a trip to Disney. You just kind of got to chill.
Japan is completely designed for wandering. Go get yourself a shaved ice. I think it's called a kakagori, but I could be wrong. So get yourself a kakagori and just wander around there and find a little path that you don't think is a path and keep walking. It is designed to like keep you there for an hour or more or 2 hours. It's really one of the most comprehensive pavilions in the World Showcase. I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's pretty close. It's really close because there's just so much to do and see, and it feels so exotic. It feels so different.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's take a trip over to Mexico. Okay, so this is the first sentence they use to describe Mexico. Still describes Mexico. So this is the first five words truly a land in transition. Is that not accurate of Mexico even right now?
Yeah, constantly changing.
Right? It represents a country extremely proud of its past while looking ahead to a promising future. When you approach this, when you approach Mexico, what is the first thing you see right now, Tim?
The pyramid.
The giant pyramid. And so this comes directly from them. The marquee and the symbol of Mexico is the 36-foot-high pyramid temple. Not good for climbing, though, I will say that much. If you've watched YouTube in the last few years, it's not good for climbing.
So yeah, that tends to be a bad thing.
They tend to frown upon that. Okay, it's fashioned after Mesoamerican architecture that dates back to the 3rd century AD. It's a steep flight of stairs leading up to the sanctum of the high priest, flanked on each side by large serpent heads representing the Aztec god. Do you know the name?
Quetzalcoatl.
Okay, thank you for allowing me to not butcher that. Very good. Quetzalcoatl. Very good. They also have palm, banana, and bamboo trees combined with flowering trees and shrubs. So on the outside, this really is pretty unique. This is pretty cool. As an entrance, if you enter to the left side, when you first approach the World Showcase, if you were a kid, I imagine, and you look up and you see this, you're like, what in Sam Hill is this structure? This is bizarre. But that's only just the outside. The inside is the coolest part. So I know this is for me to talk about, but what are your thoughts? Give us your impressions of the inside of the Mexico Pavilion, Tim.
I love it inside there. It's dark, but not completely dark, although I've never eaten in the restaurant there. So from what I hear, it may be a little difficult to find your food sometimes in there. But it's very calming and relaxing. The accents of the lighting is what really stands out to me when we first go in there. Is I just feel like they spotlight certain things, and it makes you feel like you're transformed into an evening place in Mexico.
Okay. So on entering the pavilion, guests find themselves in a museum-like room filled with pre-Columbian artifacts spanning in age from 1200 BC to the 1500s, when the Spanish conquered Mexico. Okay. Aside from the outside, aside from essentially the Cantina de San Angel, the entire Mexico experience takes place indoors. Mexico is the only pavilion, and current still only pavilion, designed this way that it's entirely indoors. When you walk down from the terrace, you find themselves in an open-air plaza simulating an early dusk atmosphere. It's like a party atmosphere inside, not like crazy, like college party, but like a town at nighttime where the lights can come on, and really the beauty of the town is on display.
Yeah,
you pass through kiosks where you're going to buy things, and even back then the idea was kiosks and wagons display baskets, pottery, leather goods, and items. The main attraction back then was the boat ride. What was the name of the boat ride, Tim?
I'm drawing a blank. I don't know.
The Rio del Tiempo, the River of Time. This is a slow boat ride, and essentially it combines film segments and audio animatronics, like, you know, any of the other ones. It's a small attraction. It depicts the history of Mexico from the pre-Columbian era through colonial time to today's modern Mexico. The ride through time enables travelers to witness the glories of three great ancient civilizations, the Mayans, Toltecs, and Aztecs, and you experience some of the artistry of the mother culture of all Indian civilizations, the Olmecs. Colorful and exciting and steeped in tradition, Mexico gives its visitors a greater understanding of the beauty and heritage of this fascinating country. Give me 0 to 10. Where does Mexico rank as far as a number for you for the entirety of the pavilion?
I would put that at a 7 or 8.
Ooh, you're low. For me, it's almost a 10. Even if the attraction is a walk-on attraction, it feels so cool to go inside there and see, like, a dusk environment and the colors of the country. Not to mention now where they have La Cava de Tequila and whatnot. But, like just the feel inside there is so cool. When you're, you know, experiencing for the first time, like, your eyes gotta just widen as big as saucers when you walk inside.
That's true. The first time I went there, I think it was really kind of a breathtaking experience.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that they still had the Rivers of Time ride. You know, the Three Caballeros, it's fine. I enjoy that, and it's a great portrayal of Mexican culture today. But again, the history teacher in me, I teach, you know, Mesoamerican history to my kids about the Mayans and the Toltecs, the Aztecs and the Olmecs. And I would like to have been able to see that and see that part of the culture.
Cool. And I know there's, you know, they brought the Tres Caballeros, you know, in there because obviously they're connecting it to a character and characters that we're familiar with, but they're also kind of historic Disney characters. But there's always the rumor that there's going to be another revision with this ride, but that's somewhere down the road encompassing Coco. I don't know if there's any validity to that, but just know that's potentially on the horizon.
And that would be nice. I don't think that I'd have a problem with that.
Okay. We've got one country left to visit. It's yours.
All right. So we are going to finish our journey in the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom, in reality, the United Kingdom is made up of four different countries, four different regions of the United Kingdom. But their approach to portraying the United Kingdom pavilion at Epcot is to capture the essence of the empire as a whole rather than focusing on those individual cultures. Guests are surrounded by the history and traditions of the British Empire as they walk along cobblestone streets. The blending of different architectural styles covers 400 years of history, progressing from Shakespearean times to the Victorian era. The Rose and Crown pub and dining encompasses the best elements of three different types of pubs. They have street pubs, they have waterfront pubs, and they have country pub in Britain. Rose and Crown offered a variety of traditional British drinks and different food favorites from the United Kingdom. In the shops of High Street and Tudor Lane, guests will find a broad sampling of different British merchandises, teas and different foods and clothing and toys of all types. Guests of the United Kingdom will be left with a distinct old world feeling of enchantment. What are your thoughts about United Kingdom?
It's a great opportunity to go and get an unbelievable seat for Illuminations or for Epcot Forever. I do enjoy the fish and chips. I know if you come from the United Kingdom, I know you'd probably think that's not even close to what our fish and chips tastes like, but I do enjoy the fish and chips. I enjoy how the shops feel connected, and they are connected, and you could start at one end and you walk through the street and you enter the other end. It's hard to get the feel for it, because when you talk about the United Kingdom, you know, from the top to the bottom, the architectural style is consistent, but yet it's still very dim. It's still very different. You know, in Scotland and whatnot, it feels very dark and very Gothic isn't the right word. How can I describe their architectural style? But when you get to London, it feels more modern and more progressive, as the city feels like newer and more progressive. I think they did a good job. I think they had a lot to work with here in trying to encompass everything for United Kingdom. They also did a good job, you know, putting the gardens towards the back, and, you know, it's a little band gazebo towards the back that's kind of hidden. If you don't wander the entirety of the pavilion, you miss some of the pavilion, and just realize it's just not what you see on the main strip. There's more in the back than what you initially can glance at.
Yeah, I think, like you said, they did a good job of trying to capture. I think it was quite a challenge to take such diverse parts of one country and represent all of them in one cohesive way. I think, like what we've said with some of the other pavilions, it kind of lacks a hook to pull you in completely. Mm-hmm. I was excited to hear that they might be developing an attraction based on Mary Poppins. That was a rumor a while back, although Mary Poppins Returns, the movie, did not perform as well at the box office as what they thought. So I kind of have a feeling that might be shelved and put on the back burner. But I think it needs something like that, mm-hmm, to add to the experience of United Kingdom.
Also note, like, in terms of the street view and street design, they wander. It wanders. It's not a clear. If you live in the States, many of the streets are laid out in grid fashion. They're 90 degree angles. This does not look like that. And many of the streets in London and whatnot, they don't look like that. So it's an accurate representation of how the streets would be formed and how things would appear on the street.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Epcot Center, Phase 2. Okay, so this is what we talked about is what existed on the opening day of Epcot, which was, Tim?
October 1st of 1982.
October 1st. But they had plans to expand rapidly afterwards. We talked in the World Showcase on Equatorial Africa, on Israel, on Morocco, on Spain. Brazil wasn't part of the list, nor Australia. So those weren't even on the list back then. I know we talked initially on Future World about some pavilions that weren't open but are thought of as original Epcot. But what was Phase 2, Tim? What were the attractions they were planning for Phase 2?
Well, you already mentioned that the Living Seas was not mentioned before. And so Living Seas was in the plannings for Phase 2. And the other one, which is probably the one that I'm most upset about not having gotten to see, was Horizons.
Okay. So since we're not going to talk about them in great detail today, but I think there'll be another Tim and Chris show where we talk a little more on the history and the options in both the Living Seas and the Horizons Pavilion, and that'll be coming up in the next few weeks or month or so. Would you like to do something like that, Tim?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'd enjoy that.
Okay. So, Tim, if anyone wanted to ask us any questions on this material or find out where we got our material from, how could they contact us?
The best place to get a hold of me would probably be lurking in our Facebook group, EDCOT, the EDCOT mm-hmm. on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time in there, and it's a wonderful community of people that are I would imagine most of us are Disney fans. Not everybody is a podcast listener, but we're a family, and we really just enjoy each other's company.
Playful kidding, supportive. It's a good Facebook group. There's no malicious behavior. There's only good natured snark. There's nothing mean spirited about it. So if you're looking for a group to join, if you're looking to have future conversations about shows, consider joining us at EDCOT. EDCOT. So for my buddy Tim. And for myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us as we toured the World Showcase in 1982. And if you have any questions, again, reach out to us in EDCOT. If you could leave us a review on your podcast host of choice, if it's iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, wherever you listen to your podcast from, we'd certainly appreciate that. So for my buddy Tim and for myself, we'd like to thank you and wish you a great day.
Bye-bye.